for tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write Post Office Box 516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71902. Friday afternoon, November 29th, 1986. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's Hot Springs National Park. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma, is the minister of the afternoon.
Sent for this weekend. I thank them, and I thank them for you, and I thank you for coming and being part of the ministry as well. It would be foolish for the ministries to come if you didn't come too. And we never know who's coming or who's going to be here, but the Lord generally always sends almost a full house. Sometimes the house runs over. We have to open these partitions up, put chairs in there too. We have to do that once in a while. And but the Lord sends those who need to be here at this time, and next time the Lord will send those who need to be here then. And it's amazing how many people have hear about this place in the strangest of ways, and then they come and receive a blessing from the Lord. That's our hope for all of you, that the Lord will bless you and multiply unto you and make you a blessing. Amen. That you in turn will also be a blessing. Well, it's a privilege to have Brother Tommy Cook as part of our family here to minister this afternoon, and we appreciate him, and we thank the Lord for us ever coming to know him and him coming to minister to us and be part of our ministry here at the campground. We appreciate it. Like I said before, if you need somebody to minister in your area, see if he can arrange his schedule to come and minister for you, and you will truly enjoy it. Brother Tommy Cook.
Let's stand, please. Praise the Lord. Our Father, again today, we thank you and we bless you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed the camp. You have blessed the people. You have blessed, Lord, through your ministries. And we bless the minister as well today, Lord. And Father, give us an open heart today to receive. Let us not say anything, Lord God, that you would not have us to say. We yield to the Holy Spirit. And God, help us to be that vessel, that instrument that you've desired us to be, Lord. For in ourselves, we're nothing and we can do nothing, but we trust in the living God who will help us today. And Lord, open your heart of the hearts of your people. We pray the anointing not only to be upon me, Lord, but upon your people to hear and to receive, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. And the Lord bless you real good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's turn today to the book of Amos in the scriptures. How many has appreciated Brother White and Brother Harris's teaching? Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, they've been good. Praise the Lord. One thing about Lake Hamilton, you get a good rounded gospel here, don't you? I mean, no, we need the whole counsel of God. We need all of it. Now, in Amos was not a professional prophet. In fact, I don't believe there's any. And, right. And also, I believe that Amos was a man that could not be fired because man didn't hire him. God called him. He was a farmer. He was a gatherer of the sycamore fruit, and God called him and told him to go prophesy to Israel. And so he wasn't, we would say, probably a refined, educated man, but he did the will of God, and that's all that matters anyway. But God sends the prophets. We've said this here before, but I want to say it again. God sends, or God raised up, and God sends the prophets when your wall is out of whack, or when you're in trouble. God sends the prophets, or God sends the apostles. God sends the teachers and the shepherds and the evangelists. He sends all the ministers, of course, when we're in need. And we're all in need today, aren't we? Somewhere. Now, let's look, first of all, in chapter 3 of Amos. And let's look first, chapter 3. And I want to look at verse 7. And it said, surely the Lord God will do nothing. the Lord God will do nothing but or unless he reveals his secret unto his servants. Come on. The prophets. Well, many don't believe that scripture there because many don't believe God has prophets. But I believe that God has prophets and God has apostles as well as the other three ministers in the church. But it said God will do nothing except he reveal or unless he reveals. And the word reveal means revelation, his secret or his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. So we can see, first of all, God is going to show the prophets those things that he's about ready to do. Now, then we go to chapter 7 a minute in Amos. And we'll notice in verse 7 and 8, it says, thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line. Well, the wall can speak of many things. How many know that the wall can speak of religious systems? How many know there's a lot of religious systems in the land? How many know that God wants to tear those systems down? How many know he's got a ministry coming forth in Ezekiel 13, I believe it is, that he tells he's going to break the wall down. Isn't that right? And I believe that we have a lot of preconceived ideas. We have a lot of religiosity. As one man tagged it one time, VRG, verbal religious garbage. And we have a lot of that that God is tearing down and ripping out of us. Amen? And so he said here, Amos did, that the Lord standing upon a wall made by plumb line. We know the plumb line, it's to test and see if that wall is straight or if it's crooked. And so God is checking us out. How many know to go up in him, he's going to check you out? Isn't that right? Notice, though, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Prophets are seers. They see. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not again pass by them anymore. Now, you know the reason many miss the visitation of God is because God doesn't always come the way they think he's going to come. And he doesn't always come in the time element they think he's going to come in. I mean, you know, when those disciples were out in the boat in the storm, they never figured Jesus would come walking on that water. But he came towards the last watch of the night. He came walking on the water, and when he came, they didn't believe it was him. They thought it was a spirit. And so Jesus many times never comes the way we think he's coming or in the time frame we think he should come. He'll come exactly when he wants to come. And it's usually when your back's against the wall many times. Hallelujah. Amen? Now, so we can see here that in Amos, God had set the plumb line in the midst of the people. Now, we've said this before, but I want to say it again. You have two choices in your life. You can do two things. You can either straighten up your wall, or you can kill the prophet. And I can tell you which is the easiest. But you'll get in trouble with God if you do. Amen? So let's get our wall straightened. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, let's look in some scriptures now. Now, first of all, let's look at the conditions, what it was like when Amos was prophesying. Let's look at the conditions. Chapter 8, verse 5. Chapter 8 and verse 5. First thing is, business was great. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a business. There's nothing wrong with making money if you do it legally and right before God. Isn't that right? If it's not our God. But in chapter 8, verse 5, saying, when will the new moon be gone? That we may sell corn. There's nothing wrong with selling corn or wheat or whatever. Again, if your heart is right. And the Sabbath. Surely nothing wrong with the Sabbath. Back there. That we may set forth wheat, making the ephah or the bushel small and the shekel great, falsifying the balances by deceit. So here Amos was talking about business was good. They couldn't wait till the Sabbath was over until they went back to the business to sell their corn, but they were cheating the people. How many know God's still against cheating and against lying? Amen? God is looking where? At our hearts. Isn't that right? And so Amos begins to tell about these people falsifying, cheating the people of God or God's people. That's number one. Business was great, but they were cheating the people. All right, chapter 6, luxury was everywhere. Luxury was everywhere. It was an affluent society. You know, come test drive the new Continental or whatever. Nothing wrong with the Continentals. Nothing wrong with Oldsmobiles, brother. I believe White said the other day. All right. Chapter 6, verse 3. Chapter 6, verse 3. Luxury was everywhere. Now, we're living in Laodicea, the church age. How many believe that? Now, it's not wrong to have things. Yes, that church said, we are rich. But what broke Jesus' heart, I believe, is when they said, we have need of nothing. You see, it's not wrong to have things. Again, if things don't have us. But they said, we have need of nothing. And yet Jesus said, well, I want to tell you something. You are miserable. How many know we can be miserable? You are wretched. And you are poor, and you are blind. That's what Jesus said to the last church age. But how many know he didn't just end up with all negative things? He also said there's a people that can overcome and go to the throne with him. Amen? So in the midst of Laodicea, there is a people overcoming and will come forth. Amen? Now here in chapter 6, he said in verse 3, you that put far away the evil day and cause the seat of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory. So you can see they had a lot, probably the natural here. And we're not against that. And stretch themselves upon the couches, eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall. They chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music like David. They drank wine in bowls, anoint themselves with the chief ointments. But look at this last point. But they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. What does that mean? That means they don't care for anybody else in their need. And how many know we can get so caught up in such an affluent society or with luxury or anything else that we forget our neighbor, our brother, and our sister in the law? Or even they may not be in the law. Amen? But don't shout me down. I said we can get so caught up that we forget the needs of others. They did not care for the affliction of Joseph. Then we could get on that and teach on that, but I won't go into that. Now look in chapter 4. Look in chapter 4. We see they're very religious. Chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, they're very religious. Come to Bethel. What's Bethel? It's the house of God. Come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal. Gilgal means going in circles. That's one meaning of it. Multiply transgression. Bring your sacrifice every morning and your tithes after what? 3 years. Amplified, I believe, says after 3 days. After 3 days. Now, so they're religious people. They were bringing the tithes. And as Jack said this morning, we should pay our tithes. It is New Testament. Jesus talked about it, Matthew 23:23. I mean, there's a natural tithe, there is a spiritual tithe, and there is a fullness to tithe. Did you hear what I said? The natural tithe is what you give. Now, I'm not just talking about money. How many know there's a time to give of yourself to God as well? Prayer and Bible study and so forth. But there is a natural tithe that you give of your substance. Isn't that right? And then there is a spiritual tithe of showing mercy and love and justice and faith to others. Amen? And yet the fullness of the tithe, I mean, oh, God's bringing the first fruits forth. And in Isaiah chapter 6, before I quote it or say it, I mean, the tithe is a tenth. And it says a tenth of the seed shall return. You'll study that out in chapter 6. I think it's the last part of chapter 6. So there is a people who will actually become the tithe. But I won't go into that teaching today. So there is a tithe. Now here, they were saying
that they were bringing the tithes after 3 days. Now, King James says 3 years, but it's actually 3 days. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying their tithes were paid. Possibly they didn't do washing on Sunday, and they didn't go swimming on the Sabbath. But how many know that's not always enough? Although, that's good if you pay your tithes and do those things God requires. There's more to it than that. Amen? There's more to it. In fact, it's not hard to pay your tithes. Hallelujah. If that's all God required, but how many know God requires much, much more than that? And as Jack said this morning, that's the subject that I hardly ever teach on either. Not that it's not important. But, I mean, we should already have that under our belt, and that should just be one of those things that we just automatically do. Don't have to, we shouldn't even have to be taught on about giving. Because we, if we're going to be sons, we'll be givers. Amen. Because the son was the example and the pattern he gave himself. All right. Now look in chapter 5. Let's see what God's response was to this religious people. Chapter 5, verse 21. Notice what God said. God said, now this is God's words. I wonder what he'd say to us. Maybe he's saying this to us at times. I hate. How many know there's some things God hates? God hates the Nicolaitan system. God hates not only iniquity, God hates the workers of iniquity, Psalms 5:5 says. So there's some things God hates. And if God hates things, how many know we must hate things? Amen? Chapter 5, verse 21. I hate, I despise your feast days. I will not smell your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beast. Take away from me the noise of the songs. I will not hear the melody of the mouth. How many know we can sing and sing and sing and our heart be not in it? You can sing 200 songs and your heart be not in it at all. And to God it's nothing. Amen. And so this was God's response to their religiosity. And God said, I hate your songs. I don't want your songs. I don't want your offerings. Verse 25. Well, verse 24. But let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. God's requiring repentance in the church, in us individually and corporately. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible said God loves judgment. Hear me. But he hates robbery. And religiosity is a robbery. Amen? I mean, a religiosity is that which says something, but it doesn't do. Amen? Now, look in chapter 5. Verse 18, they were looking for the coming of the Lord. How many believe Jesus is coming? But many who are saying that, are they really prepared for the coming of Jesus? Are we fully prepared for the coming of Jesus? Well, I don't believe I am yet. How about you? I mean, he may take some of us tonight, you know, but I'm talking about his coming. Chapter 5, verse 18. Woe to you that desire something. The day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. But yet, how many know to those that are being prepared, it's going to be a day of light. You can see that in Joel. You can see that in Isaiah. But why was he saying this to this people? Because they were saying one thing and walking another way. Now here he said, is the day of the Lord to you, verse 19, as if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him. Now you talk about tribulation, here it is. Or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. He said, that's the day of the Lord to you. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it? To those people he was speaking to.
Hallelujah.
Now, let's look at a few things here why God was rejecting Israel. Turn back to chapter 8. Chapter 8. Verse 11 and 12. Let's see why God was rejecting Israel. Hallelujah. How many know that our nation isn't just number one always in God's sight? How many know that every nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell? Huh? How many believe that the judgment of God's on this country? In many ways. And, let's go back to chapter 1 a minute. Turn over to Amos just before we go back here to what we was going to say. Go back to chapter 1. Now, look in verse 3. And before I read this, I believe Russia is going to attack different nations. And I believe that, you know, Ezekiel said, God said, I'm going to put hooks in her jaw. You ever read that? Don't bring her down from the north parts and so forth. Well, I know many have said, well, the hooks is communism and the military machine, and I agree with that. But I believe there's a key, maybe in Scripture, to show us that God's going to bring her down and when he's going to do it. And I personally believe the key that God will bring Russia down against Israel will be when Damascus is destroyed. And it's going to be destroyed. And I don't think it's very far off. Now here in chapter 1, verse 3. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof. Because they have threshed Gilead with threshing instruments of iron. But I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. And I will break also the bar of Damascus, and cut off the inhabitants from the plain of Aven, and him that holds the scepter from the house of Eden, and the people of Syria will go into captivity unto Kir, saith the Lord. Now turn to Isaiah chapter 17. Hallelujah. I believe when God brings Russia down, how many know God's going to destroy her? I'm talking about the military machine now. God loves the Russian people. Amen? God is against the spirit of communism, isn't he? Just like God loves American people, but God doesn't love everything that's going on in America. I mean, he doesn't love the abortions and all the, you know, those kind of things that's going on. God's against it. Now, in chapter 17 of Isaiah, the burden of Damascus. Behold, Damascus. Come on, read it with me. Is what? Taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. It's a city. It's the oldest city in the world. I'm talking about a literal city that's going to be destroyed. And I'm saying that it's not going to be too far away. And it's going to be one of the things I believe that will bring Russia against different nations. All right, now, turn back to Amos now. Hallelujah. And we know we should pray for the people of Damascus. I said we should pray for the people in Damascus. Now, we'll go back to chapter 8, verse 11. Let's see something else here. Why God was rejecting Israel. Verse 11 of chapter 8. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, Well, we know in America there is, as a whole, there is no famine of bread and water in the land. We know that. But God said, I'm going to send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Now, he didn't say the words were not being proclaimed. He didn't say the word was not being preached. It is being proclaimed and preached in 1986. But many do not want to hear what God is saying in 1986. Amen? How many know we need to get the wax out of our ear? Now, turn with me. Hold your place. Turn to the Song of Solomon. Hallelujah. Song of Solomon. Hallelujah. Now, look in verse 10. We should go up further, but that's all right. We'll start in verse 10. Chapter 2 of Song of Solomon. 2:10. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. How many know that's what he's speaking to the church today? Come away with me in the spirit. For lo, the winter is past. How many know that winter restricts you? You can't travel very well. You don't like to get out in the cold, and people die in it and so forth. But how many know there's winter in all of us at times? He said, the winter here, though, is past. Winter speaks of trials, tribulations, hardships, many things. Coldness within the person and many things. Then he said, the rain is over and gone. You know, there's some experiences you go through that you could have never learned things from God except those experiences. But thank God some of them are gone. Amen? Probably maybe we'll never have to face them again. Next verse. Verse 12. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of the birds has come. Now, how many can see springtime here? Resurrection life. And he said the birds are singing. There's, in Revelation 14, it said only the 144,000 could sing that song. You ever read that? God's got some birds singing, Jack. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. They're singing to the tune of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. And I'll tell you, that song is about the Lamb, about Him. And so it says, the singing of the birds has come, and the voice of the turtle, that's the turtle, that's the Holy Ghost, notice, is heard. Where? In our land. Hallelujah. Or in our land. God wants the Holy Spirit to so minister to you that you can hear. Now, let me know that the Holy Ghost came upon John in the form of a dove. Now, here in the Song of Solomon, several places, the Lord calls you and me His dove, His undefiled. Right? It says of the 144,000, they were not defiled with women. Does that mean Paul's against natural women? No. They were not defiled with the harlot and Jezebel system. They'd come out of her, been purged, walked away from her. They were following the Lamb. Now, how many know a dove is swift in flight? James said, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. But we get backwards sometimes, don't we? A dove will not fight back. That's why Jesus said, be harmless as doves, but wise as serpents. And a dove can only see one thing at a time. Jesus said, if your eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. Amen? Hallelujah? A dove doesn't have a gallbladder, which means no bitterness. Hallelujah. No bitterness. Say hello about that. A dove will not roost any place. We saw that in Noah's time. I mean, the raven went out first. type, the old nature. And the dove went out after him. But the dove didn't come back. The raven didn't come back. But the dove came back. And Noah reached out and took him in. How many of you got to reach out to the dove? The heavenly dove.
Hallelujah.
He wouldn't land on dead flesh. But he wants to land in your land. We mistake the fluttering of the wings of a dove for revival, but he wants to land in our land.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The dove has no talents. He's not a bird of prey. He feeds on grains and berries. And we as God's dove need to feed on right kind of food. There's food that'll kill you. Sure is. And a dove will not remarry. He's faithful to his mate. Hallelujah. We must be faithful to our Lord. Amen. How many know there are many, listen, in bed with the world and in the harlot system tonight? You believe that? Turn over to Luke a minute. I'll have to hold a finger on the other hand there. But in Luke chapter 11, I'll say also the dove takes a lot of baths every day. How many were clean through the washing of the Word of God? In Luke 11, and let me also say something. I said men are in the bed with a harlot and the world. We must be filled with the oil at midnight. But we need more than oil. We need some bread too, don't we? The oil, the Holy Spirit's going to lead us to the bread. Huh? And he's going to teach us the bread.
Hallelujah.
Chapter 11, verse 5. He said unto them, this is Jesus, which of you shall have a friend? Well, the greatest friend you have is Jesus. And shall go unto him when? Midnight, darkest hour, tribulation, trouble, whatever, affliction. And shall say to him, friend, lend me three loaves. Three loaves. Spirit, come on. Soul, body, 30, 60, 100. We need three loaves, don't we? For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. God shut the door in Noah's day. He put Noah and his family in the ark 7 days before the flood. And God shut the door. The door is shut in Matthew 25 to the virgin. Five came in and five was left out at that particular time. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And here, the door is shut. And someone's knocking. He said, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I believe the children represent the first fruits. And I believe it's a place of rest. It's an intimacy with Jesus. They're not in the bed with the world or with the harlot, but they're with him in a spiritual place. Hallelujah. But I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity. We give up too quick sometimes. Yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, we are his dove, his undefiled. There are many ways we can defile ourselves. But the 144,000, the sons of God, the elect of God, the very elect of God, God is cleansing you. Amen? And we'll not be in that group unless we are cleansed. All right. Let's go back to the book of Amos, chapter 5. Amos,
chapter 5. Hallelujah. Now, I think I brought this point out yesterday. It's all right. But there were those who were seeking the house of God and not the God of the house. I mean, oh, there's a difference. As we said yesterday, many can be in church every night and God be not always in it. And there's nothing wrong with meeting together when God's leading us together. But I'm not just talking about that. But in chapter 5, verse 4, "For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and you shall live." Let's turn it around. If you don't seek me, you're going to die. Next verse. "But seek not the house of God, nor enter into Gilgal, which will lead you into circles, and pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel, the house of God, shall come to what? Nothing. Verse 6. Seek the Lord, and you shall live." So the principle is, seek the God of the house, not just the house. Amen? Now, we're not against coming to church. We're not against meeting. How many know we got to do that in this end time? That we've got to do it under the headship and lordship of Jesus Christ, under His authority, being led together by the Holy Ghost. Amen? Now, look in verse 14. "Seek good and not evil, that you may live." Now, here's another principle in Amos. There were those who hated authority. How many know there are people in church don't want anybody to be over them in the Lord? They don't want any apostles or prophets or teachers or shepherds or evangelists to be over them in the Lord. But in chapter 5, listen to what the Word says. "They hate him that rebukes in the gate." The gate was where the elders sat, the place of authority. "And they hate him." I mean, oh, there are people that actually hate the word they bring from God. And if you don't know that, it's true. "They hate him that rebukes in the gate. They abhor him that speaks uprightly." And then down in verse 15, "Hate the evil, love the good. Establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph." Now go back to chapter 8. I missed my point here a while ago. Sorry about that. Chapter 8, verse 11. We said a while ago, God said, "I'm going to send a famine in the land." Hallelujah. I believe many Christians are in a famine today in America. And I believe in our own life, there are famines, there are areas of famine in us that we're not even conscious of. Because we're not properly hearing the Holy Ghost. But how many know it's not enough just to hear, we've got to also obey. Let's read it again. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." Now notice what happens when we do not hear. God said, "And they shall wonder." The church is full of verse 12. There are many who do not want to light. There are many long rangers, or call it what you want to, in the church that want to run and never submit and grow up in God. Isn't that right? And if we do not hear, God said, "They shall wander from sea to sea." That's from people to people. Not pillar to post, necessarily. But from convention to convention, from church to church, teacher to teacher, whatever. Amen. From the north to the east, we could say from Florida to Canada. "And they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord." And God said, "They shall not find it." Who won't find it? Those that will not hear. Those that will not straighten up their wall. Those that will kill the prophet. God said, "You'll reap a famine." Amen. Hallelujah. How would you like to be Amos? How would you like to have been Amos, going to a people that you knew that would reject you? Well, how many know there are people today being rejected? There are ministries today rejected in the land. Isn't that right? Not everybody accepts deliverance. Not everybody loves Lake Campbellton. Isn't that right, Brother Miller? In fact, there's probably many praying against Lake Campbellton. And I know there's many do not like the kingdom of God's word is coming forth. But how many know they're not going to stop? Because God will have a people and God will have his kingdom. Hallelujah. In the earth. Praise the Lord. Hayobosata Bahaya. Let's just praise him just a second. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hayalabo Koroba Handele Vesida Bahaya. Handalabo Sida Bahandarabo Kotaraba Sida Bahaya. Koraba Handele Vikitaraba Sondele Vikia. Hayalabo Sahataraba Kitaraba Handalabo Kota Bahaya. Oh, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Lord, mighty God, we love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Handalabo Sikaraba Sandalabo Kotaraba Sanda Bahaya. Hallelujah. 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 Hilaba Satkaraba Sandalava Kitaraba Sandalava Handobokorabahaya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. Know that the Lord thy God is in thy midst. And know that the Lord thy God has raised up a people, a strong people, as there has never been, saith the Lord. But know that even in the midst of the land and in the midst of the earth, there shall be a great shaking, saith the Lord. But set not thine eye upon the shaking, but set thine eye upon the King of Kings. Set thine eye upon the Lord. For in this hour the Lord does bring forth that people, a people, yea, that shall have a single eye, a people that shall walk with him, a people that shall be robed in white with his righteousness. For this be a day of vengeance. This be a day of terrible calamities coming upon the land, saith the Lord. But I, the Lord God, shall be magnified in the midst of all of it. I, the Lord God, shall be exalted in this hour. For I, the Lord, do move thee by my spirit. And I shall speak unto you in the night time. This be not a time to lay down your arms. This be a time to put on the whole armor of God, saith the Lord. Yea, but I will make you that expert in war. I'll make you that man and that woman of war in the spirit, saith the Lord. So lay not your arms down, but pick them up, for surely the battle does come. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thou hast been in many struggles and hardships, but the Lord thy God is with thee, and the Lord does lift up a standard unto thee, my son. Yea, thou shalt be quickened by his presence and his power and his spirit. Look not behind thee, saith the Lord, any longer, but look unto me, the author and the finisher of thy faith, for thou shalt truly hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk you in it, for surely my hand is upon you, my anointing is within you, my son, to do the will of God, and to do the purpose, the plan that I've commissioned you to do. So set thine eye upon me, and know that the change that shall come shall be of me, my son. And in the night time thou shalt be visited, yea, by the Lord in different ways. So open your heart and receive, for it shall come, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's magnify him. Let's praise him today. Hallelujah. 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 Forget the turmoil and the struggles and the heartaches behind thee. Leave it be, saith the Lord. The bridges and the things behind, they're consumed, they're burnt. Yea, I say, it's a new day before thee. Rise up and walk in it, saith the Lord. For surely thy feet shall walk in the way of the Lord. And you'll know the Lord, my son, in this hour. Yea, those struggles, those heartaches shall no longer be, because I'm going to bring such a dedication within you. And you're going to know it's of me. And you're going to know that God has worked all things out for you. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise him. Amen. Let's praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord is with thee.
And the Lord shall help you. He shall undergird thee. And he shall give you the strength that you need in this hour. But set not your eye upon a man, but set your eye upon the man, the Lord Jesus. Yea, the Lord shall give you also that single eye. And he'll give you the purpose, and you'll know it within. Yea, you need not that a man tell you that, but you'll know the purpose. You'll know what God has required of thee. And in doing it, thou shalt be blessed, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord has seen your weakness, but I've said unto thee, for the weak to say, I am strong. For the Lord does make you strong. The Lord does reach out to thee with his strength, yea, his armor and his power. So reach out unto him, for if he be lifted up, know that thou shalt be drawn unto him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise him. Let's praise our God. Let's praise our God. Let's praise our God. Handalabo silaba karabo sandalabi kilaba handaya. Amen. The Lord's going to bring many changes within your life, because I see your heart, and I've seen that your desire is for me. And so because of your love for me, and because I look upon your heart, man would judge you outwardly, but I look upon your spirit, and I say that that desire within you is of me. It's been put in you by me. So my son, seek the Lord, cry out for him, and in seeking with all your heart, he'll be found, and you'll have many answers, saith the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go back here for a few more things in Amos. Look in chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 1. And ladies, we're not picking on you. But the women was getting sassy and demanding. I used to say fat, but I don't say that any longer. I was wrong. The women were getting sassy and demanding. Chapter 4, verse 1. Hear the word, you kine or cows of Bashan. That's kind of tough to call a woman that, I guess. That are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their husbands, masters, bring us and let us drink. You can't make it on two jobs to a husband. Get free. Amen. But bring it in. So they were kind of getting sassy and demanding in the days of Amos. Well, I mean, we can still get sassy and demanding, all of us, if we're not careful. Amen. Now, chapter 2, verse 12, there was some compromising going on. Chapter 2, verse 12. I mean, we don't have to compromise. But you gave the Nazarites wine to drink. The Nazarites were those probably who had maybe a vow like Samson and others. It seemed to me that Samson broke every one of his. But you gave the Nazarites wine to drink and commanded the prophets, saying, prophesy not. How many know that the prophetic ministry is not always accepted in every church? There are people who despise prophesying. But Paul says, despise not prophesying. But prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Amen. We must test and prove it, of course. And check it out. But he said, you gave the Nazarites to drink. Well, how many know they don't have to take it? Hallelujah. How many's ever went into a restaurant and they tried to serve you a drink, or on an airplane, airline, they tried to serve you? You don't have to take it, do you? No. You can say no. Well, not that way, but you can say no. Is that a little strong, Jack? You can say no. Yeah. Well, if they persist. Anyway, don't touch it. Hallelujah. Amen. How many know we have to watch that we're not a stumbling block to others? We can cause others to be offended by the lifestyle we live. Isn't that right? And Jesus said, blessed are those who are not offended in me. Praise the Lord. We can become active stumbling block to many. Now, turn with me to another scripture here, if you will, in the Word of God. Look in chapter 9. Here was some deception among God's people, which we see a lot of it today in many ways. We see, how many know there's such a divination in the church? Seducement, divination, many ways we could show you that. How many know that not all dreams are of God? Yeah. Not all visions of God. Yeah. And as we said yesterday, there are times people have put a guilt trip on you. Yeah. through their prophecy or through their dreams or through their visions, which can be right of the devil or of themselves. Amen? I mean, oh, God, well, let's look at it. Turn to Jeremiah. We'll come back to Amos just a second. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. Let's just look at a couple of scriptures here. Jeremiah 23, God was telling about the prophets here in the book of Jeremiah. And you'll look in verse 25, and let's see what God said to the prophets. He says a lot here in this whole chapter. I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name. How many know the tail minister of the dragon is to prophesy lies? Isaiah chapter 9 tells us. Do you know that? All right. That prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have begotten my name, forgotten my name for Baal. But look at verse 28. The prophet that hath a dream, or when say a vision or a word from the Lord, whatever, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. I've seen the times that dreams have came and have stopped people from getting hurt in business deals. But every dream you have is not always of God, is it? And we must weigh those dreams. We must be careful, especially when it's concerning other people. Amen? And so many come under, we would say, witchcraft or divination through dreams. And they'll put a guilt trip on you or hurt you with their dreams. And even if a person has a dream, you have to test that. You have to check it out yourself. Somebody comes to you with a dream, say, I have a dream about you. And I've had people tell me they had dreams, and to me there was nothing to it. And yet others have, and I believe there was something to it. But we have to judge. We have to weigh what's been said to us. Praise the Lord. So, let's go now to the scripture in chapter 8 of Amos. In Amos, chapter 9, rather. Chapter 9, verse 8. Now listen to what God said. Here's some deception working in the midst of God's people right here. Chapter 9, verse 8 of Amos. Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom. What kind of kingdom? Sinful kingdom. How many know that God will judge sin? And I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord. For lo, I will command and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall they not the least grain fall upon the earth. Verse 10, all the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. You know there are many in America today that sang that in their heart, that nothing can touch us. And that is nothing but deception. There are men in the church that may be saying it. That is nothing but deception. Now turn to Revelation 11, verse 1. Hallelujah. And God said, in verse 1 and 2, just two verses, there was given me a reed. How many know that reed's a golden reed? Over a little further. How many know God's not measuring us with a measuring stick, but with his nature? Like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure what? The temple of God and the altar, that place of sacrifice, dedication, obedience, and worship. And them that worship therein. So here's the people that are worshiping, that are being measured by God. How many know there's workers in the outer court? There are warriors in the holy place we're learning to overcome. But there are worshipers in the Holy of Holies. Verse 2. But the court which is without the temple, God said, leave it out. My word says, cast out. Jesus said, if the salt has lost its savor, it is good for nothing but to be thrown out or cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Isn't that right? But the court that's without the temple, leave it out. Measure not. It is given to the Gentiles, the heathen, the nations, and the what? The holy city shall they tread underfoot 40 and 2 months. I don't believe that holy city is Jerusalem. I don't believe Jerusalem's holy. I don't believe Tulsa, Oklahoma's holy. I don't believe Hot Springs is holy. But I believe there's a people that has a holy God in them that's holy. But yet, the outer court is going to be trampled underfoot. How many know it's time to move on in? Now, turn back to Leviticus 16 just a minute. Leviticus 16. Hallelujah. Now, in verse 12, how many know the priest, the high priest, went into the Holy of Holies once a year? Isn't that right? And he didn't go with that blood either, did he? But, or incense. In chapter 16, verse 12, and he shall take a censer full of burning coals, coals off the altar, of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands, double hands full, two hands, double portion. His hands will be full of sweet incense. That incense is a type of prayer or intercession, worship, and praise. Isn't that right? Beaten small and bring it within the veil. How many know to get inside the veil or in the Holy of Holies is going to take some incense? It's going to take some intercession, worship, and praise. Amen? How many know that when this man went in, everybody else went outside? Well, how many know you're either going forward or you're going this other way? How many have known people that's known Jesus has been on fire, and today they're on the sideline? But there's others that are pressing on up in higher to higher ground. Amen? And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. I believe there's protection in God as we go on in. One man has said it this way. There are the perfected ones, the matured ones, coming from the Holy of Holies out now. There is the protected one, perfected one, protected one, and many will be the destroyed, believing ones in the outer court, in the hour to come. Amen? Turn to Revelation 14. Thank you, Lord. Revelation 14. In the first 5 verses, he talks about the first fruit, the 144,000. First fruits are that which ripens first. And how many know that we need the characteristics of the sons of God here? They're sealed. They are not defiled with women. They have no guile in their mouth. Many other things that's mentioned here. Now, the first fruit is caught to the throne. And then in verse 6, God said there's an angel flying in the midst of heaven that has what? The everlasting gospel to proclaim or preach to them that dwell on the earth, to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And then we see in verse 8 that great Babylon, the harlot system, is going to fall. And then we see in verse 9, 10, and 11, God warns about the mark of the beast to those that are in that time. But in verse 12, here's the verse I'm coming to. God said, here is the patience, the endurance of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Now, there is a death to self, but I believe this is literally a death here to many. We don't like to talk about those things, but how many know there's going to be some people dying? There are people dying tonight from their testimony. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, their works do follow them. And then in verse 14, here it said, there is one coming out on the cloud, the Son of Man, and reaping the harvest of the earth. And if you go a little further, you'll see there's another reaping. It's the wicked, I believe, cast into the winepress of the wrath of God. There were 3 reapings in that chapter. So, we don't want to be caught up in being deceived. We want to be prepared. We want to be in God's best. Amen? How many want that for your life? Yes. Okay, let's go back to Amos. Just a couple more things. Or one other thing, possibly. Chapter 8, verse 6. Chapter 8, well, maybe 2 or 3 others. chapter 8, verse 6. Chapter 8, verse 6. Now, notice what God said. Here's what the people were saying, that we may buy the poor for silver. How many know money still talks today in 1986? And people can usually buy their way into anything or out of anything if they got it. But here he's dealing with the poor, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. So there are people being bought off. And here it was the poor. Buying a pair of shoes. You know, this is to be me, but I could sit this way. We'll give you a pair of shoes if you'll work for us 2 weeks and do what we want you to do. And there are people, even in the church, that can be bought off. But how many know God's against it? And God's against us buying anybody, whether it be the rich, poor, or middle class, or whoever they are. Now, look in chapter 7, verse 12. The people did not like Amos, I'm sure, and I know the leaders didn't. Verse 12 of chapter 7. Also Amaziah said to Amos, O thou seer, go flee thee into the land of Judah. Eskimos are looking for you. And there eat bread and prophesy there, but prophesy not again anymore at the house of God. It's the king's chapel. It's the king's court. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet. Hallelujah. How many know every one that's a minister can say, I was no whatever, evangelist, prophet, teacher? Neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman. I was a gatherer of the sycamore fruit. I was a farmer, is what he was saying. But the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said to me, go. That's a commission. How many know what divine commission is? Divine ability by the Holy Ghost as we yield to God. Go prophesy to my people, Israel, to the very people, Amos. They'll not receive you. They'll reject you. Amen. Now, therefore, hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou says, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be a harlot in the city. Thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and the land shall be divided by line. Thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land. Hallelujah. So they didn't like the prophet. Now go to chapter 5, the last two more scriptures. They were overtaxing the poor. Chapter 5, verse 11. They were not only buying the poor, they were overtaxing the poor. Chapter 5, verse 11. For as much, therefore, as your treading is upon the poor, and you take away from him the burdens of wheat. Notice, you take away from him the burdens of wheat. You have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them, God said. You planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink wine of them. How many know we can reap what we sow? And God said, you're taking the burdens of wheat from the poor. Evidently, they were actually, the margin says, they were stomping upon the poor by that which they were doing. Now turn to chapter 9. We'll read this scripture, and then we'll go to the book of Acts 15, and we're done. Amos 9:13. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, the treader of grapes him that sows the seed, and the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. How many know God's saved the best wine to last? Verse 14. I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build away cities, inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards, and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens, and eat the fruit of them, and I will plant them upon their land. They shall no more be pulled up out of the land which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. But how many know God's not just only dealing with Israel? Let's go to Acts chapter 15. How many know we're in a time of restoration? You believe that?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Acts 15:14. First of all, Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles, as the nations, the heathen, to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is what? Fallen down. Something's fallen down. Something's decayed. And I will build again, God said, the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord. Why is God going to restore? That the residue of men might seek after the Lord. And all the Gentiles, the heathen, the nations,
upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doth all these things, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Praise be unto God. So God is doing a mighty thing in the earth. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, let's stand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just praise him a minute. Can we do it? Hallelujah. Lord, we just love you today, Lord. We exalt you tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your precious name. Praise your holy name. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How many in here today would raise your hand where you're standing and say, I've been hurt by others. I've been rejected by others. Amen. And that I want the Lord to touch my life today. I want to be healed and delivered of any bitterness or any of those hurts that's within. Now you can raise your hand. All right. Keep them up. Father, in the name of Jesus, we take dominion right now over all rejection, over all hurts, and all bitterness. In the name of Jesus, we command all rejected spirits to come out. All spirits of bitterness and hate and envy and strife and unforgiveness, we command you now. And we charge you to come out of the people in the name of Jesus. We demand and command and charge you now by the authority of the name of Jesus. And by the power in his name, we speak against every spirit here right now. In Jesus' name, every spirit of rejection, come out of the people. I command you. I loose the people. Come on. Work with the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, come out. Come out, rejection. Come out, bitterness, unforgiveness. Hey, envy, strife, come out of them. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, loose the people of God. I command you, take your hands off of them. In the name of Jesus, by his authority and his power. In the name and nature and character of Christ, come out of the people in Jesus' name. All rejection, come out. Come out, rejection. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out of him in Jesus' name. Come out of him in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come out. All rejection. All hate. All unforgiveness. Loose the people. Loose the people. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out of him, rejection. Loose him in Jesus' name. Come out of Paul in the name of Jesus. By the power of the Holy Ghost. He commands you to take your hands off of him in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Come out. Come out, rejection. Come out there in Jesus' name. Go! Go in the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on. Name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, all rejection, all hate, all unforgiveness, bitterness, come out. Bitterness, come out in the name of Jesus. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Forgive. Forgive those that hurt you. In the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out of him in the name. Yes. Name of Jesus. Go. Amen. Yes. Sorrow and heartache. All sorrow and heartache. Come out. In the name of Jesus. All sorrow and heartache. Wounded spirits. Wounded spirits. Come out in Jesus' name. All wounds in the spirit, come out in Jesus' name. Name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Come out. Come out, looser in Jesus' name. Name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Come out in Jesus' name, every bit of it. Come on. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. All wounds, hurts, bitterness, come out of them. Jesus. Jesus' name. Name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Restlessness, nervousness, come out in Jesus' name. All restlessness, come out. Nervousness, come out in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. All restlessness, nervousness. Out, out, out. Jesus' name. Loose the people of God in Jesus' name. Name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
Come on. Come out. Come on. Come on in Jesus' name. Come on. We break the powers in Jesus' name. Hurt, sorrow, sorrow, heartache, sorrow, rejection. Come on, come on. Loose in Jesus' name. Yes, yes. Hatred and anger that comes with rejection. Hatred and anger. Hatred, hatred and anger. We rebuke that in Jesus' name. Come on, set the people free. Loose them in the name of the Lord. Loose them in Jesus' name. Come out. Come on, come on. We set the captives free today. We break the powers of it in Jesus' name. Come on, loose them. Loose them.
How many's got a problem in your left eye right now? Raise your hand. Right here in the air. Raise your hand. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I curse that condition. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Satan, take your hands off their eye and their face. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we call out all insanity in Jesus' name. Come out, insanity, in Jesus' name. Come out, insanity, in Jesus' name. Come out, schizophrenia, in Jesus' name. All insanity, come out. All rebellion, come out, in Jesus' name. And witchcraft and divination, come out, in Jesus' name. Come out of her, in Jesus' name. I command you, come out now. Come out now, in Jesus' name. Come on out, in Jesus' name. You're a deceiver. You can't stay in her. She hates you. The blood of Jesus cleanses her from all unrighteousness. You must go now, in Jesus' name. Go now, in Jesus' name. Yes, you have to go. We have authority over you. We have authority over you. All mental problems, go, in Jesus' name. All mental problems, go. That's right, all mental problems. Get out of her now, in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. In Jesus' name.
We command you to come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come out of her. In Jesus' name. Yes. Yes. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.